Hello and welcome back to Spinalcast. I'm your host, David Stevens, and joining us today are Ethan and Parker Glenn. Ethan is a full-time student currently in his junior year of high school at Jefferson High School here in Bloomington, Minnesota. And Parker is a sophomore in college attending St. John's University studying communications. Ethan, Parker, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in today's episode, I think what we're really trying to do is I think, one, talk about your injury, Ethan, and really kind of how that has affected your guys' relationship as brothers, and, you know, whether that's good or bad. I think just a brotherly relationship as it relates back to a spinal cord injury. I mean, yeah. Does that sound good to you guys?
Let's do it.
All right, perfect. Then in that case, I think we'll just go straight to the questions. So I think to start with, why don't we start with you, Ethan? You know, where did you guys grow up? What did you do for hobbies, sports, you know, positions, that sort of thing? And how did you guys get along growing up?
For me, I grew up, I mean, I only remember growing up in one house.
Okay.
But when I was young, we grew up in Edina in an apartment, but I don't remember that. And then growing up, I played hockey, football, baseball. And then Parker played lacrosse instead of baseball.
Okay.
But I played the rest too. I played hockey and football as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And three sport athletes.
I think everything we did growing up was a competition. From eating food to just actually playing sports.
Yeah.
And then just in football, I played running back and receiver in like my younger days, but when I got older, I started playing just running back.
Okay.
And then on defense, I played linebacker and corner.
Yeah.
And then baseball, shortstop, and then I actually played a little bit of catcher for a couple of years.
But it's the greatest position in baseball, in my opinion. Yeah, you get to control the game, and nothing is your fault. That's the way I looked at it.
I only played for like 2 years, and then kind of just grew out of it.
Yeah.
But I got pretty good, and then I just moved to shortstop.
All right. Well, what about you, Parker? I mean, I heard you played very similar sports, but, you know, yeah. What positions were you in? And
yeah, I played growing up. I remember my first time playing football, I got put at tight end, and I was like, I'm not a tight end. I remember crying. And I was like, but then every year after that, I was receiver, and that was great. I played receiver all the way up until like first year of college when I played football in college, and then they switched me to DB, and then I'm not playing football anymore. But yeah, receiver is my thing. And then just in hockey, I was left wing, I guess. I was not good at hockey, though. I'm not gonna lie. I always said I was better than my brother. That's only because I was probably bigger than him.
You were.
And then once he hit, like, once he started getting a little bit of facial hair, he got better than me. I can't lie. That was his thing. But yeah, as far as growing up, I remember he was right. We would compete all the time. If we couldn't agree on something, so we had these pair of boxing gloves.
Yeah.
he's right-handed, I'm left-handed. So if we ever disagreed on something, let's say it was Fortnite or, you know, the video game, if we ever disagreed on the video game, we wouldn't say anything, but he would walk in my room. I would toss him the right glove and we'd just start ripping it off, ripping shots. So yeah, we were always competing, fighting. But yeah, that's what makes us brothers, though.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome.
Yeah.
And just for clarity for the audience, who's older and how much older?
I'm 2 years younger.
2 years younger.
Just about, yeah.
Okay, so Parker's the older brother, younger brother. I'm also a younger brother, so I'm with you. Sorry to say it, Parker. I'm with this guy over here, but
that's fine. I'm with your older brother.
He's 3 years older than I am, so.
Okay.
Yeah. And he doesn't live here in the state of Minnesota anymore, but he's just next door in Wisconsin, UW-Madison. So I get to see him occasionally, but him and I didn't really get this. We had a different kind of relationship, but it was still a very good one at that. Well, let's jump back to you, Ethan. So if you wouldn't mind, can you kind of walk us through the accident, you know, what happened and, you know, how old were you? Where'd you do rehab? That sort of thing. Just kind of a rundown of your injury.
Yeah. I had 3 days of school. So I was starting my freshman year of high school.
Okay,
freshman. And we had
Was this at Jefferson?
Yeah, at Jefferson. Okay. And then we'd had 3 days of school, and then we had Friday off. Mm. We just had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So then we had a game Friday morning. And I went to the game Friday morning. And then first play of the game, got a kick return. Got like 40 yards on it. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good return.
And then it was, I think, 11 plays into the game.
Yeah.
Quarterback, just a QB run, hiked it, ran to the right. I was playing corner. And then just went for his legs. And then my, like, kind of like my trap, like,
yeah,
hit him in the thigh. And then I just couldn't move. I was awake for all of it. I remember everything. I just couldn't move. I remember they turned me on my back, and I felt like my arms and legs were straight in the air. But I was flying on the floor. Yeah, it's the weirdest feeling ever. It didn't really hurt.
Yeah.
It felt really weird. And then right after that, I went in the ambulance. I just remember they gave me meds. The drive felt like it took like 3 minutes. It did not feel long at all.
Yeah.
And then I went into surgery. And then for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I don't remember like anything.
Mm.
It went by. Like, I remember just getting the ambulance, going in the surgery, and then waking up.
Should tell him about the desert story.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now I have to hear it.
I thought I was in like all the meds when I had the tube in my mouth, and I was just like laying in the ICU. I thought I was in a desert hospital.
Oh.
Or like I was on like a block of sand, and like they had to move like a like bed sheet to get in my like room. I thought a lot of meds.
Yeah. Those meds were hitting. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. So were you, was it terrifying? Like when it first happened, were you pretty aware of like, oh crap, this is serious? Or were you kind of just in shock? Where was your head at?
At first, I was hoping it was like a stinger.
Yeah.
But then once like nothing was happening, I'm like, yeah, this is bad. And then when I was in the surgery, I think I actually told my mom, I was like, am I going to die? Because like surgery like freaks me out.
And yeah, totally.
I think I had 3 surgeries on my neck, and they were all like 5 to 8 hours in between there, which didn't feel long to me, but for my family, that probably sucked.
I'm sure anybody who's sitting around waiting on that long of a surgery, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
So, well, Parker, why don't we talk to you about like, what do you remember from that day and, you know, that kind of thing? Were you at the game?
Yes, I remember I skipped school to go to this first game. So I
we won't tell you know your teachers or anything.
Okay, perfect. But yeah, I remember being there. My mom, she's not gonna like me saying this, but she's very protective, right? She's very protective. So Ethan, you know, made his hit. He tackled the guy, but he wasn't getting up. And I remember looking at my mom. It was just one of those things, like. My mom goes, oh, should I go on the field and go help him? Like, because she's protective. We know she's protective in that sense. So she was joking, like, but then he wasn't getting up, and then this and that. And then, so I go on the field. We go on the field. I remember Ethan's on his back. I'm standing over him, and they start taking his glove off. And then I remember they asked him if he could feel it.
Yeah.
And they're asking Ethan, can you feel us? And I seen his eyes, and it was just, that's something I never want to see again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially as an older brother. But I, at that point, I was like, it's probably just a stinger, this and that. You know, you got to have hope.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so they take him, ambulance, everything. I just remember it being very high adrenaline. Since his hit to like 5 months later, it was like the same adrenaline, like those entire 5 months.
Yeah.
To be honest, it was like so much stuff has happened. Like we moved out of the house to get our new house, right? And then we moved in the apartments. Ethan was still at Craig for a lot of that time. So yeah, it was just a very hectic time. I remember being in the waiting room and being with my mom and dad, and it was just this. I'm not gonna lie, this one lady, she was being so annoying. Like she was like, "It's okay." I was like, "Yo, get out of my face."
Yeah.
She's being really annoying. That's one thing I do really remember, is she was trying to calm us down, but she was getting me heated.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, and then the doctor came in, told us the news, and that's like, oh, I don't even know how to explain that feeling. Like, mm-hmm. I just, I feel like my entire intestines, my guts just came out of my mouth and everything. It's like, I didn't puke, but it was like, I couldn't breathe. I was choking. So that means I care about you.
a little bit.
But yeah, it was just a very tough day. Couldn't eat, couldn't do nothing, but look where we are now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a blessing to be where we are right now.
Absolutely. So, well, thankful that you were able to get the medical attention you were. And as quickly as you were, I know in talking to a lot of our guests, it's, you know, it's a matter of time and it's a situational thing. And I'm just very glad to have you here. Glad we get to interview you guys. And that's, you know, really heartwarming to hear you tell that story. So when you kind of talk about those 6 weeks afterwards, just being a absolute kind of whirlwind, is there anything that you guys felt like wasn't available to you, or that you would, you know, as an advisory to anyone else who ends up in this crazy situation, hopefully never, but is there anything that you just felt like we were not prepared at all for this? I mean, I don't know how you could ever be prepared for this.
Yeah.
To be fair. But I think you know where I'm getting with the question.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So
for sure.
I think we, like, compared to a lot of people that get, like, just out of nowhere, like an injury or like something life changing like that, we were super lucky with like the resources we had and like just everything that happened. Like, friends and family obviously were like right there. I have really big group of friends that I'm super close with, which helped a lot. And then just the resources, like just people like donating to the GoFundMe, and then just the help that we got, we were a lot more fortunate than other people were in the situation we were in. So
absolutely.
And then Craig was really good. I'm really happy I went to Craig.
Yeah. And so let's talk about Craig for a second. Craig Hospital was where you did your rehab primarily?
Yes. Craig's a rehab facility in right by Denver, Colorado. They make you want to be there. They make you like, it's really hard to be upset there.
Okay.
It's really hard to be mad.
They make it a good time then.
It's a good environment to be in. Yeah.
For sure. No, yeah.
That's awesome to hear. Did you ever get to spend any time at Craig and like kind of witness it firsthand?
Yeah. So I went down there probably 3 times, 4 times, something like that. He's right. It's really hard to be like sad or upset down there. They even had a way for him to play games, which is how we play games now. It's called a quad stick. Maybe it's been mentioned on the podcast before, but it's like a controller for his mouth. And it's like three buttons, like, or three tubes, three straws, let's say.
Yeah.
You can sip and puff through each of them, which is 6 combinations. I'm looking at him to make sure I'm getting it right.
Well, you can do like 2 at once too.
Yeah, so you have more combinations with that. So
I think I've seen a guy on TikTok who
Rocky Nohan.
Yeah,
I know that guy.
I've been thinking he would be great to get him on the podcast and talk about it. So
I'm not that good.
No,
yeah, no.
I'm not that good.
But he's really good at he's good at like the sports games. Like, he beats me every time.
There you go.
Not every time.
I beat you by 80 in Madden.
Give myself some credit.
Hey, 80 is kind of crazy.
You guys are brothers, right? Who would know? Who would know there's competition?
Yeah, but no, I got to go down to Craig. It was great. The staff is amazing, for real. He's right about that. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Awesome. Well, shout out to Craig Hospital then for all that great. I mean, hearing your story and then winding up someplace like that, it's hard to believe that they are able to make an environment where everyone's like, oh, we want to be here at the worst part of my life. I'm going to be happy. That's a huge deal. So going to shift gears a little bit towards you, Parker. So obviously you're the older brother. You witnessed this happening, and it sounds like you played football afterwards. Did that, seeing that injury and being, you know, right there firsthand, did it put any pause in you as to whether or not you wanted to continue to play football and you know, how you went about it?
It's a good question. To be honest, not really at all, actually, which even looking back, I am surprised about. But I was so focused on my own goals and what I wanted to do with my guys on the football team that year that it didn't put really a pause at all. But looking back on it, like, it probably would now. But because I don't have any football goals.
Yeah.
But I had so many goals that I was just looking forward to, striving for with everyone on the team. And I didn't really take a pause. I just remember going to practice next Monday, like literally like 3 days after his injury. And all the guys were just, I needed to be, it was almost easier to go back on the field because I needed them. I needed my guys.
Right.
So it made it really easy to go back and just play football and forget about football.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense because, but.
I get it.
Yeah.
Sports is like an escape for a lot of us. So.
Yeah. So it was huge for me to just, and I was a captain too. So I felt like I just couldn't leave anyways, you know, so.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what about mom and dad though? Did mom and dad have any qualms about you going back after that? I mean,
yeah.
I'm just assuming as a potential parent myself, I could see it being like, let's hold back on football for a little while, please.
Yeah. It's very, I don't really think they did actually. They kind of encouraged me to go back just.
They knew what it meant to you.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't know what it meant to me. I remember being on my first game on Friday, a week after Ethan's injury. We played Rosemont. We lost. Doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. You know? But I remember someone had got hurt in that game, and we all took a knee. And, oh, my God, I just started crying and crying and crying. It's like, I can't handle this. Like, what the heck? And I remember getting up, and my dad did something, and he told me, he's like, I don't remember quite what he said, but he was like, stop crying. You're playing football. Like, it sounds harsh, but like everyone else was trying to be super soft with me and stuff like that. But the way my dad had handled the situation is like, you're here to play football. And you, like,
this is part of the game.
Yeah. It was like, I can't explain it quite, but he was like, you can do this. Basically. He was like, you can do this. Like, look at me, Park. Like, you're here right now. Enjoy it. You're playing football at your guys. That's what I took out of it. And he's like, I was like, dang, you're right.
Yeah.
It's hard, but the thing is you can change two things. You can control two things, and that's your attitude and your effort. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard that. And in that moment, I could either be super sad and just kind of, which is really easy to do, you know, in a situation like that. It's a lot of things going on in your head. You don't really know what's happening with your life. And it's just like, you've never been in, like, it's just,
right,
flipped upside down. Or I can decide to observe my environment around me. Oh my God, I got Finn right here. I got Brady right here. I got Coach Potts over here. You know, shout out the old team. And it's like, they're here with me. I got Coach Folks. It's just, we're here and we're playing football. And that's something I love to do. And it's a blessing to be able to do that.
Yeah. It's so, all about mindset. And
1,000%.
And being able to kind of put yourself in a place where you take all of that into account. So that, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to you, Ethan. So we kind of talked about you being at Craig Hospital for rehab for the first, 6 months to a year. I know Parker got to come visit you every once in a while. I'm assuming your family and other friends were able to come visit as well occasionally. What did you have to kind of pull from to really kind of excel in that environment? And were there any specific achievements that or milestones that you reached that were kind of key?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just like getting up every day and just like having that attitude, like
choosing life.
You're the same old kid, like you stay positive, like, which I still do. Obviously you always have those like, why me? But I don't really have that no more. But like when it first happened, obviously you're gonna have like the why that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the biggest thing was probably when like my friends would come to visit. That was awesome, because like it's not a short drive down to to Colorado, and just to have them there with me when I was going through that was helped a lot. And then I think the first time I went back in public was a Broncos game, which probably wasn't the best idea. Using Sip and Puff driving to get around in a Broncos game.
Yeah. With a bunch of drunk NFL fans running around with 8 beers in their hands.
I had a drunk dude fall back into my chair in like the first 5 minutes going into the stadium. So, I mean, that was kind of a big thing, like accomplishment that I went through at Craig, just to like actually go back in public, because that was the first time I'd been outside of a hospital environment, like,
right?
Because I went from the ICU straight to Craig, and then I was at Craig for like a month, and then that was the first time back in a wheelchair,
right?
Just out and about, and then just going through Craig, and then they have you go through like 2 months, like in the hospital in a room,
okay,
and then a month is like in kind of like a hotel, like apartment environment, like just across the street.
Yeah.
So you can live by yourself.
Like getting you more acclimated to normal life, mm-hmm, outside so of like the hospital.
You do everything outside of Craig, but then you still go to Craig to do rehab,
mm-hmm,
just so they know you're ready to go home. And I think once we did that for about a month and we knew we were ready to go home, it was a big step to leave Craig and actually drive home.
Right. Were you excited about that or nervous?
Oh, I was excited.
Yeah. I was ready to get home. Excited,
yeah.
I'm done with all these
yeah.
these trainings. I'm ready to get back and whoop them in Madden, right?
We got back Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Yeah, we got back Christmas Eve. So we were at our apartment Christmas Day.
That's
awesome.
Which
is really nice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Making it home for Christmas, that's like a, I don't know, like a
present itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the year after that is when we moved in to the new house.
Got it.
So it's like kind of like a...
Yeah, we moved in Christmas Eve to our new house.
Oh, wow. Christmas Eve is your guys' day is yeah. what I'm hearing.
So this is our first, this next Christmas Eve. What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. something crazy is happening.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it's just like a full circle type of moment.
And the house you moved into, it, from what I understand, is very accessible for you, correct?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There's everything. It's really a long house. So like
okay.
Everything.
Kind of a rambler type setup, all one level.
Yeah, it was one level. Well, we have a basement, but I don't have to go down there.
Yeah.
Basement's basically my brother's.
Yeah, when I come home,
the top level from the front door to like the back,
yeah,
to like the porch is like 30 yards, I think.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's long.
Something like that.
You can see the, when you walk in the front door, you can see the back of the house.
Oh,
so it's like super, it's open and
just a straight shot.
Seriously, yeah, just straight down.
Very cool.
Right, yeah. When you walk in or roll in, there's I'm a huge Alabama fan, so they're like, right when you walk in, take your shoes off, and then right to the left is a Bama room.
Okay. Yeah,
which we watch Alabama, watch football, watch, play poker.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of poker nights.
Hangout room.
Yeah, hangout room. It's like cooler than this though. Yeah, no, yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, nah, this is pretty awesome. But it's like it's definitely our man cave. That's
awesome.
That's where we go. Yeah. Yeah. Have the guys. That's where I whoop him and men.
I love the competition. So I got a note here that there's some adaptive events program at Craig Hospital, just kind of jumping back to Craig for 1 second. Can you kind of tell us about what you guys have done with that program?
So while we were there, Craig was good because there's the program that gets you out. It gets you out doing just normal things like the Broncos game.
Right.
And then you're also doing it with kids your age.
Oh, okay.
Or close to your age. Because when I was there, I was the youngest one there. Because you have to be 15 to go there. And I turned 15 2 months before I went there.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But there is, I was really lucky because, not lucky because, I mean, other kids were
right.
hurt. But there was like 3 to 4 kids there,
mm-hmm,
that were like only like a year older than me, so like that was good.
Yeah, because
they usually don't have like very many.
Right.
But that program I think was super good. They brought me to the Broncos game, which was super good to get out. I think I also went to like the Avalanche game.
Oh cool.
And then just when I left Craig, just this past spring, I went scuba diving. They brought me scuba diving.
Wow.
They introduced me to this called Denver Divers. We went down there for spring break, got our like certification to go scuba diving.
Right.
And then Craig brought some of those kids I went to the rehab with.
Oh, awesome.
Also went on the trip. So that was really good to see
them. Like reconnect with them, and that's awesome.
And then we were down, we went to the Cayman Islands, and then.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you said down there, and I was like, you're scuba diving in Colorado? Are you guys like in a big tank or what? Now Cayman Islands, that makes much more sense. Yes. So.
We went to Cayman Islands. We were there for like a week. You could do up to 4 dives a day. I only did 2. I'm not getting up that early. Yeah. But it was incredible going scuba diving. I just got to hope this guy got to scuba dive with me the last every day, but the last day he got to like hold me and like swim with me.
Oh, sweet.
Just had to pray he didn't drop me. And then
you have to pray.
The plane.
you knew I was gonna hold you.
I was a little nervous. This guy would try to swim as fast as he could. See how fast he'd go holding me.
Kara was really fast.
Yeah, this one girl would hold me. And then out of nowhere, I would just, like, fly. Yeah. I would just fly.
She was secretly a dolphin.
Yeah, on the side. That's what it felt like, dude. But the plane ride, that's why we drove. I went to Alabama for a game.
Yeah.
Just this past weekend, they played Missouri. They killed them. Shut them out. But that's why we don't fly, because I hate flying now.
Yeah, I can believe it.
The most...
We actually had an episode where we talked to somebody about the difficulties of air travel with a chair and how it just hasn't gotten to a point yet where it's really that accessible. I mean, it's awful, especially for someone who's quadriplegic and not just paraplegic. It's a lot more complicated.
Not being able to control your upper body on a plane is not fun.
No.
Yeah.
Just fall over a lot.
Yeah. Right. I can only imagine. It'd
be a lot easier if they made it like a car. Just roll on, strap in.
Right.
But.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, it does sound like there is some workings of that in the works. The person we spoke with said there are some, I believe it's Delta that has published things that they are working on making a safe travel for wheelchairs where you can strap them and don't need to get you out of your chair.
That's huge.
Would be huge. Absolutely.
That'd be so cool.
You know, if we could get more viewers, who knows? Maybe we push the envelope, Delta. Just saying. But I think the last question I really had for you guys is regarding the sweatshirt that you're wearing here, Parker. So for those at home, do you want to talk about what this is and the foundation that you guys are starting?
Yeah.
Or have started, I should say.
Yeah. So Just Be Great. Ethan wore number 8 when he played sports. So it was nice little play on words, play on great.
Yeah,
or just
sport.
Be great.
Every sport, number 8.
That's awesome.
So the whole idea behind the foundation, like you had brought up earlier in the podcast, when Ethan first got injured, it was very difficult. And without any of the help, we wouldn't even be close to where we are right now. We probably wouldn't be able to be on this podcast. It'd just be, we'd be in a very tough spot without the help of the community. So it was really the people that got us through those tough times. Mm-hmm. Without those people, I don't think we would have been able to. I don't even want to think about it.
Right.
Right. So what we want to do with Just Be Great is we want to raise money to help families who have experienced tragedy and give back what we got from the community during our tough time. Because it is very important to have people around you, people rallying with you.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. Just like I had said with the football team, just I remember that first practice, they all got around and just they prayed for my brother and for my family. And it's just chills. Like, lightning goes through you when you feel that, and it's like it's so much easier to just keep going once there's people around you, you know. So with Just Be Great, we want to be there for people in tragedies, and of course we want to raise money for paralysis research and things like that. So it's Just Be Great, and you know, it's also a mindset thing. you know, wake up every day and just think to yourself, today I'm just going to be great.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be great today.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
Yes.
One moment at a time for sure. So yeah, let's just be great.
Awesome. Ethan, is there anything else you wanted to add about that?
Not really. Just we're trying to do what people did for us for other people as much as we can. So even if it's just starting out, we can only give a little bit at something, like a little bit goes a long way, and then hopefully over time foundation gets bigger and bigger, and then just can raise more money for people who need it, and then of course for research.
Keep paying it forward. I mean, that's a huge deal. So for anybody who's interested in learning more about Just Be Great, we'll make sure there's a link in the description for everyone to go check it out. These two are going to be super involved, I'm sure, for the entirety of that organization. It's going to be awesome. But, you know, I think that's about all the questions I had for you guys today. Really enjoyed having you on. I do want to do a quick plug to everyone who's watching at home, maybe on YouTube. Make sure you give us a subscription, thumbs up, you know, that sort of stuff helps. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, a follow is always appreciated. But once again, Ethan Parker, thank you again for joining us today. It was great having you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.